How's everybody doing? Good. My name is John. For those who don't know me, I'm just one on the preaching team. So if you don't like it, don't worry. You don't have to hear me for another month if you come. I was listening to Robert Morris. I love Robert Morris. I think he's a great teacher. It's weird because I'm more of a preacher, but I'm drawn more to teachers because really they walk out the how. A lot of time the preachers will hit the highlight. Yeah, and then 3 weeks later, people forget what you said. And so, I mean, that's, you know, and there's a reason for we have all the gifts, you know. We talked about the prophetic. I'm going to talk about the prophetic. But I was listening to him. He says, you know, before I was a pastor, I was an evangelist, and I'd travel a lot. And he says, one trip when I was gone, he goes, my daughter was 3 years old. My wife told her to do something, and she goes, you're not the boss. And her mom goes, well, who's the boss? She goes, daddy's the boss. And when he's gone, I'm the boss. So Robert Morris goes, well, what did you do? She goes, I took her in the room, and I had to show her the way of the Lord a little more clearly. And that's what I want to talk about, the word of the Lord. You know, there's lots of words, but then there's the word of the Lord. In Genesis, God says, don't eat of that tree. That was the word of the Lord. And Satan comes along and says, did God really say? And it was just a word. So many times we make a word the word. Some words the word. We need to go back to the word of the Lord. Now, when I say the word of the Lord, it can be the prophetic. It can be what God's saying at the moment. It can be counsel. Godly counsel is what God's saying. It's not just good advice. Because you can be the Bible and it can say, wait, hold still, take it easy. And then you read another part and it says, move forward. You need the word of the Lord, what you to do. It says to pray. But God told Joshua one time, why are you on your face praying? Get up. Don't pray no more. The word of the Lord. That's what he's saying. So you can go and you can, it's not just, see, Jesus is not a formula. There's principles, but it's not a formula. That's why he didn't heal just one time with mud. He did different ways. Why? Because, you know, it's true. If we saw healing with mud, then we'd write a book, how the elements of healing in mud. These are the 7 steps to bring your healing. Theology means the study of God, but God's desire was never to be studied. It was to be known. Yes. And throughout in Genesis, you see, and through the Bible, they say the God that heals and the God that provides and the God that does this. He's always done that. What's changed? They saw it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah, he was always high and lifted up. What changed? You saw it. So we need the word of the Lord, amen, for your life. You need to frame. I'm going to get into that. What you frame, what you picture, what you put in there, amen. And because we talk about the prophetic. Alan prophesied over the kids. And last time I was up here, I talked about what the prophetic is. It means before to enlighten. Before it happens, God wants to enlighten this. Your son's an evangelist. Why does he say those words when he's young? You know, and I've said this before. There's a prophetic word over everybody. They just don't know it. God has a purpose for everybody, but some people just don't know it. And it's our job for them to know it. Amen? And one of the people that, I mean, I love, most of you know Subhata, and I love Subhata. I was, I was his roommate for 5 years, and I just love Subhata. I mean, wherever he's worked, I've always went and visited him. Like, wherever he's worked, like, he owns his business now, and I go there, and we grill, and his other works, I always go, and, you know, his friends from work, and one time he was in the oil industry, and he says, hey, you know, Halliburton's has this, you know, this place where the people fish and hunt, and I go, Sabata, I'm not in the oil industry. That's to bring people, you know, you're supposed to bring your clients, and he goes, no worries, just come. So I came with Kevin. We're the two only non-oil people. So we were running around, skeet shooting, eating steak, fishing. Sabata was like the guy that brought his kids, but he didn't care, right? So I'm sitting there right after the World Series, I was just thinking, you know, I want to do something good for Sabata. It's not for Christmas. I just want to do something nice for him. And I thought, you know what? I'm gonna get him a picture in the Sports Illustrated, because everybody was talking about 2014. In 2014, of June 2014, Sports Illustrated printed a cover. And this was the cover. This is of 2014. Baseball's great experiment. Your 2017 World Series champs. Wow. And so Sabata, I go, I want to get this. And I call him. I says, do you have it? He says, no, I want to get it. So I got it, and I framed it for him. I went to Hobby Lobby, got a frame, got a little inset. Looks good, right? You guys like, John? I didn't know John could do that. And I said, Sabata, I want to get it for you as a reminder of the prophetic. Yes. But what I didn't know is what Sports Illustrated came out with. Baseball's great prophecy. It happened, and it says, you're 2017 World Series champ, so now I got to get another one. Baseball's great prophecy. Same player. That player here just happened to be the MVP. See, Houston was headed to the 4 losing seasons, but there was this one guy. I saw 2 interviews with him. Told somebody, we got to get the other one and frame it so you can see it. Prophecy fulfilled. Word of the Lord fulfilled. See, what's in your frame? What's in your frame? See, and if you have something in your frame that's not the word of the Lord, you know the good thing about frames? It can be changed. I read a story about this guy. He went to a swap meet and bought a painting because he liked the frame. He took it home and he ripped out the painting. But behind that painting was a valuable masterpiece worth a lot of money. See, behind the shame, behind the guilt, behind the doubt, behind the words of other words, there's the word of the Lord behind it. And sometimes you need to change it. It's the same frame. So this guy, he goes, because after it happened, with 2014, everybody, when the World Series was coming, was like, look, this guy said, he predicted, and it just said, Sports Illustrated Prophecy, you predicted they're going to be the world champs. So now they're in the World Series. Is it going to happen? So they asked him, why did you say this? And he says, well, I was in the meetings with Houston. I was in their meetings. I was in their clubhouse. I saw how they did things. It's not just about losing. He goes, something's different here. Their formula is different. They use old term scouting, Nolan Ryan, with new term thing. And he goes, I was in that meeting, and my editor said, run it. Put it on the cover. See, if you look at a Sports Illustrated, there's a lots of words, but that was the word. There's a lot of things, but it's the word. See, what's in your frame? See, what's in your frame is what you look at. What's because the prophetic wants to illuminate his word. It's in the center. When you see, we're not putting this under Sabata's bed. We're going to hang it up. See, I read another story, but there was a painting behind a couch. It was worth multiple millions of dollars, and somebody just had it behind a couch. See, God wants you to take his word and put it up on the wall, so when you walk in it, you see it. See, we're going to put it in Sabata's office. Why? When he walks in, he goes, prophecy fulfilled. They're called to the nations. They're going to have babies. They're going to have multiple houses. They're going to prophecy fulfilled. The word of the Lord fulfilled. I'm going to read a story from, so basically go back to that. So he was in the meetings and he said something. So his editor said, run it. When we get with the Holy Spirit, he puts Jesus MVP on the cover. The father, the editor says, run it. Print that. He said, nobody believed it. They all said I was crazy. See, a Sports Illustrated's thick. I'm not talking about the swimsuit issue. It's thick. There's a lot of teams they could have predicted. There's a lot of stories they could have ran. And the editor said, run that. Run what is unexpected. Run the team that's ready to lose. Why? Because he believed him. Why? Because he sat in the meetings. Why? Because he heard the secret conversations. When you get alone with God, you will hear things other people don't hear. And he said, run it, print it, frame it. Why is it so important? Let me tell you something. One of the most influential people that in my lifetime that I've known is Oprah Winfrey. And it's not for good reasons. She turns spiritual. And, you know, Eckhart Tolle is one of the most spiritually influential people. And he talks about just, you know, being in the moment. It's not Christianity. You know, Oprah says she's a Christian, but it's not the Christianity of the Bible. If you go on our website and put in Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle, there's over 350 searches. You put in Jesus, there's zero. Health has 200. And so they had these webinars. I was reading an article from 2010, 35 million people watched one of her webinars. Not Christian. How did this happen? She didn't grow up New Age. She grew up Baptist. But let me tell you her own words and what she framed and what changed her life. You guys with me? Because my notes aren't. This is what she said. She goes, I took God out of the box. This is a quote. I took God out of the box because I grew up in the Baptist church and their rules and belief systems and doctrine. I happened to be sitting in church in my late 20s. See, notice where she was. She was in church. She wasn't at a New Age conference. She wasn't listening to a guru. And she says, I was going to church where you had to get there at 8 o'clock in the morning or you couldn't get a seat, a very charismatic minister where everybody was into the sermon. This great minister was preaching on how great God was and how omniscient and omnipresent and God is everything. And then he said, the Lord thy God is a jealous God. I was caught up in the rapture of the moment until he said jealous, and something struck me. I was like 27 or 28, and I'm thinking, God is all, God is omnipresent, and God is also jealous. God is jealous of me, and something about that didn't feel right in my spirit, and that is where the search for something more than doctrine started to stir within me. What happened? She's sitting in church, and I preached in those services, and I've been in those services. People stand, they wave the hankies. It's in church. See, it's not what the minister said, it's what she heard. It's not what she was listening to. It's what she heard. It's what she framed. Now, she didn't frame God as jealous because I heard in other things. You know what she framed? Her frame was God is insecure because he's jealous. Why? Because she put it on a natural level. So what she framed was a dark thing, and it decepted. And so now she would have never had the platform. She gives people platforms that are just not biblical. Jesus is just a way to God. and God is whatever you want it to be, and you know, she'll have pastors on there, and she'll have other people on there. Friends, we need the word of the Lord. In 2 Kings 22, there was two kings. There was Jerusalem, and there was Judah, and one of the kings says, hey, I want to go fight this other king. I want to take this land, okay? So he went to the king, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to read you a little bit. So he says, now 3 years, because we're going to quote the Bible too. I'm not just going to quote Oprah. Now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. Then it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth-Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Before we do this, I'm with you. I'm going to inquire the word of the Lord. Then the king, who wanted to get the land, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, shall I go? And they said, yes, go with these horns, go, you know, you're going to do it. So you had 400 people on this side saying, do it. All these voices against you. All these voices that says we're not going to make it, you're not going to pay for it, you know, your promised land has giants in it that you can't defeat. All these 400 voices, and there was one that said, don't. And this is what the one said. I saw all Israel gathered, scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one return to his house in peace. So God was saying, don't do it. So 400 to 1, the one was right. 400 voices against the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is right. See, when you frame what is right, it doesn't matter what anybody says, what you think, what's coming against it, it's right. See, one thing Oprah didn't know was God's jealousy is out of love, not out of insecurity. Yeah, Oprah, when you're dating your boyfriend and you go see him sleep with this man and this one, do you get jealous? No, because you're mine. See, and God created you. So, Oprah, you had it on a human level. So she framed the wrong thing. Sitting at church, and see, what do you really hear? Jesus says, to him who has ears to hear. See, that's why Alina, you know, she'll talk about what I'm not saying. And then it flows down to Kirk and all the other teachers. This is what I'm not saying. See, I don't do that. You can walk out thinking of, so I trust the Holy Spirit. See, what's in your frame today? Does it need to be changed? And I was thinking one day, how do blind people dream? Now, I'm not saying this to make fun of blind people. A lot of people, you guys don't know this, but for a long time, I think about the blind people. I'm like, what's it like to see for the first time? I met this girl in California years ago, it's been in me. I worked with this girl in the swap meet, and she goes, you know, I could partially see, and then I had a surgery where I could see all the way. And I go, what's the first thing you did? She goes, I dropped a golf ball. And I didn't tell anybody, and Alan one day goes, a mark of your ministry will be blind eyes opening. See, it was in my heart. God will put a desire in your heart. They don't give you a word to think. So you didn't think I wasn't listening, did you? So how do blind people see? I'm going to read you some interviews of some kids that are in a blind school in Belgrade. And it's sad. I mean, I even cried last night thinking about it because, you know, I think many Christians are like that. See, Alan talked about one time in a sermon, he talked about, you know, having sight and vision are two different things. And see, so many Christians, we don't have the vision to see the word of the Lord. So how do blind people see? There's no reference point. If you were born blind, you know, they don't dream people because they can't see them. They dream shapes, and they have sounds, and they have touch, but it's limited. See, what God wants to do is he wants to give you a reference point so you can see. He wants you to frame it so you can see. Your life isn't just for nothing. It's for a purpose. He wants you to frame it. See, what's in your frame so you can see it? See, we're going to hang this up when you walk in. It says, God's promised you children. You can frame that. See, and there's not just one thing. You're 2017 World Series champs. The new one says you're 2017 World Series champs. Nothing's changed. See, the word of the Lord, he hasn't changed. When God says something one time or two times or three times, it's not any more true the third time. It's just as true as the first time. He does it for us. I'm the Lord your God, who won't leave you, who says that over and over again. He doesn't say it so it's more true. He says it so we receive it more. So the seed goes deeper in the ground so it can receive the water and the Son of God can shine on it. What's in your frame? You're 2017 World Series champs. You know the only thing that changed? Same player, different uniform. They modernized it. So I want to read you some things about how blind people dream, and I want you to think about your own life. Because some of them could see at one time, but then they lost their sight. And many of us, we've lost our sight, our vision. The promises of God isn't in the frame anymore. It's behind the couch. Multi-million dollar painting sitting behind a couch. When you walk in someone's house and you see expensive china, you don't see their kids playing with it. It's in a shelf. See, where's the word of the Lord? Is it in the frame hanging on your heart? Because there is something in your frame, in your heart. Something is there. So let me read you some of these. And so they interviewed the kids. Remember I used to preach with just three things, no notes. Maybe I should go back to that. If somebody has been born totally blind since birth, they only have auditory dreams. If someone such as I had a measure of sight, then that person dreams with that measure of sight. I still dream as though I can see, colors included. For people I've met, their faces are just blurs, or how I imagine they look. See, she doesn't see; they don't see clear anymore. So they interviewed this teacher for the visually impaired in Belgrade, and she told me, blind people dream exactly how they live. And I think many Christians do that. They dream exactly how they live. There's nothing that's not the word of the Lord. It's how they live. It's how they dream. One person says, I often dream of Paris, even though I had never been. Everyone calls Paris the city of light, so I imagine with a lot of light, but when I dream about it, it's always nighttime. There are lights all around me and above me. There are big squares, so many people and beautiful buildings. I can hear the water fountains and the squares. That's Paris for me. I have never seen the Arc de Triomphe, but I've read about it. There used to be a gate in my parents' yard in the house I grew up. I imagine the Arc de Triomphe exactly like that gate. So here's Paris, this beautiful city. They don't see it, and they imagine it like their past, where I lived. And some of us, our vision is our past. The Arc de Triomphe. So the blind person felt the Triomphe. They could get up there, and it's the arc is that small, and I can just imagine it's just maybe a little bigger in the city, but they can't see. They don't have no vision. Nothing's in their frame. It's not the word of the Lord because they're blind. And some of us need to have our sight back. And if you're like me, sometimes our prophetic words, it loses. Through time, it loses the promises. It's not fresh like it was in day one or day two. God, are you just as faithful? We sang about it. My confidence is in your faithfulness. It's not in my faith. It's not in my years of Christianity. You could be a Christian very new and have a vibrant faith that believes God, and you can be 20, 30 years. I heard Ryan Harbunke preach. He says, you know, I go to places and I see people writing notes. 20 years later, I see the same people still on the front row writing notes. But nothing has come of those notes. See, that didn't run there. So in 2017, they could go false. The editor ran that because, oh, I believe in you. God believes in you. Here's the word of the Lord. I want you to print that, write that, front that. And now you can change what's in your frame and put that. Amen. I'm going to read you some more. These are kids, elementary kids. Up until I was 11, I dreamed with all my senses. After I lost my sight, I had only two types of dreams for a while. One was in color with people, objects, and places I had seen before. The other type of dreams was linked to when I had a new experience or met someone. In these dreams, I heard or felt something, like a voice or a pat on my back from someone. I had both kinds of dreams for several years, but gradually, the dreams in color began to disappear. I now never have those dreams anymore. Once he could see color, now no longer. Once we've walked in privacy and faith, we talked about the things of God, but we lost our color. See, God wants to give us our color back, amen? I have been blind since birth. This is another person. I can only see changes in light. I went to Moscow twice for surgery, but this is as far as they could help me. My dreams mostly consist of sounds. I used to dream that I was reading a book. Scenes were unveiling in front of me. But when I woke up the next day, I couldn't remember anything. My sight has never been good. I don't remember certain objects clearly, but I do remember colors, my parents' faces and my sister's. This person saw it one time. I don't remember what, for example, the color turquoise looks like, but I have relatively strong memories of basic colors like red and blue. That's like the one person says, that is Paris to me. See, that's not the real Paris. That's Paris to me. That's not the real kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God to me. That's not the real purpose God has for me. That's the purpose God has for me. I shrunk it to what I can feel. See, he could feel it. The blind person could feel it. They touch it. That's how they touch it. I heard one blind person say, they would tell me, "That's you're describing the person wrong because they inside, if you, there's no reference point. If you've never seen, how do you describe the color yellow to somebody? There's no reference point. See, when kids, you point to the color yellow, blue. I used to have a kindergarten teacher that loved me. Who wouldn't? My mom says she loved you. She'd just come over, John, and she goes, you were so smart, you pointed. But there's a reference point. They don't point to black and say blue. So that's what God wants to do. He wants to give you a reference point, the prophecy. True. This is your life. 2014 World Series champs and 20s. We're in 2017, December. What does God want you to frame? And you can add it. See, there's no reference point. And so he goes, and then the one that could see eventually couldn't see anymore, couldn't see the colors. So the blind person goes by touch. It goes by their other senses, but they don't go by sight. So some of us, we need the vision of God. And some of us need to have it restored so we see colors. It brings life back to what he already said. Some of us need to bring out the words of the Lord and put it on the wall when we walk in. See, when I called Sabata after the World Series, I didn't say it because of baseball. He bought a baseball bat. He didn't need another souvenir. I go, Sabata, I'm buying this to remind you the prophetic comes true. He says, cool. Then we got the other one. So he walks in, 2014, 2017, the word of the God comes to pass. The word over your life will come to pass if you walk in obedience like Jesus. See, it's his invitation. It's his desire for you. It's not going to happen just because it's going to happen. It's going to happen because he needs you to walk in it. It's not over everybody else. It's for you. Jesus did everything the Father said. Therefore, he fulfilled everything the Father said. He didn't walk away when they said, you don't need to die. He said, his face like, flint like cross. So you need to say, okay, that's the word of the Lord for me. I'm not comparing myself to anybody. I'm not, Byron, some of you guys know Byron. Byron came in years ago. Some of you don't. He came years ago. Nobody knew him. He was a musician. He gave his CD to somebody at school, and they trashed him all over the school paper, said he's no good. He comes in. Cammy gives him a word. God says, you do have the goods. What changed? See, when he came in, he was discouraged. Inside his frame was, you'll never make it. So God used Cammy. It wasn't from Cammy. It was through Cammy, amen? Because you don't want a word from Cammy. You want a word through Cammy. I know that's what we say, but that's not what we mean. It's not like person like psychic, ooh, you know? I saw this one thing, these fake psychics, and they use Facebook, and they said, we're just using Facebook. I do have a motorcycle. See, there's familiar spirits, but God says, I'm the only one that can tell the end from the beginning. See, there's familiar spirits, and demons know your name. Demons will know your past. Demons, and all these people are amazed by psychics. Oprah, who gives them a platform, who framed the wrong thing, whose God was jealous. See, one little degree, and the rocket misses. But rocket misses one little degree from earth, one wrong thought, one wrong, and I stopped being in fear. It's like, okay, God, I want to realign what you've called me to do and put it in the frame because it had to fit. I had to get the frame to fit the picture, and I don't get the picture to fit the frame. See, I have to get and there was big frames, little frames, small. What they gave me, what they sent me, Sports Illustrated, the ones that originated, then I says, I need a frame to fit this. See, what you need to do is enlarge your heart to fit it. We're going into a new place. It's going to cost us more money, but we have to enlarge our frame. God, okay, God, you were faithful in the past. You'll be faithful in the future. See, this next year, I'm going to make more money than I've ever made. See, I just believe, okay, it's time to stir some things up. It's time to see in color again. Yes, it's not just to hang on a wall to say John bought it. It's to hang on a wall to say, that was the word. This came to pass. There he said this. This came to pass. See, what's in your frame? And do you see the colors? I saw color at one time, but I no longer dream in color. And I think there's many Christians who no longer dream in color. They don't see in color. They see in black and white. At one time it was fresh, but they got hurt. At one time it was right, but they got hurt. Oprah was sitting in church. In church. In church. It's what she heard. When you say God is good, God is, do you hear? No, he's not good to me because you still hear your dad's voice. 400 to 1, 400 to 1. And the one was right. So you just need one word of the Lord. Why? Because that one word is behind one God, the true God. You don't need thousands of gods. You don't need Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle, Oprah Winfrey. We just need Jesus because he changes the atmosphere. The dreams in color begin to disappear. I now never have those anymore. Just a young kid, good to see in color. I don't have dreams in color anymore. When you look at your future, is there color? Is there color? Or is it all just black and white? When we get there, there'll be famine. Now see, on the cover, it doesn't tell you the hard losses they fought and all the things they had to go through. When God gives you the promise, then he doesn't tell you the giants, and that's what happens when we get there. There's giants in the land, but God says, I'm still with you. Right. See, I brought you out of Egypt to bring you into something. Right. A lot of Christians don't do anything. They don't, you know, they don't cuss, they don't do this, they don't drink, but what do? He's called you to do something, called you into something. Yeah. See, we're going to a whole place. There's an entire generation that needs the picture in their frame to be changed. Yeah. See, it can be changed. You can keep the frame. You can just change the picture. On the back, I pop those things out. I put it in. There's a new picture. There's a frame in your heart, and something's in it. Is it the word of the Lord, or is it the 400 voices saying, no, no, no. Never for you, not for you. For them, not for you. For that church, not for us. For those, not for this. For Bethel, for Hillsongs, but not for us, no. There's an entire generation that's going to come in, and God's going to change the picture in their heart. There's people in the latter years of their life, and the 400 voices have said, buy a motorhome. get a house in Florida, do this. It's what everybody does, and they're going to come in, and God's going to change the picture and says, I want you to invest in the new future. Recently, I was watching 60 Minutes, and there was this chef who at one time was in Beverly Hills, cooking in Beverly Hills, and then all of a sudden when Puerto Rico came, he showed up in Puerto Rico, and he started cooking all these meals. You should see the passion in Beverly Hills where it's nice and comfortable, more money. When he was doing the thing in Puerto Rico, why? Because it was about people, and God will change the picture. It doesn't matter, young, old. So do you still dream in color? Do you still see in color? Or are you like me in some areas where it's been fading? See, it wasn't overnight they couldn't see. It was gradual. It was that hurt, this thing. Didn't invite me. They didn't ask me to do children's church. They had told me to vacuum. They said this, the ugly thing about me, I left. Jesus wants to reframe it. Pull behind the couch. Multi-million dollar painting sitting behind a couch. You know why? Because they didn't know the master. See, a lot of people don't know the Statue of David is the most famous statue in the world. A lot of people don't know that Michelangelo wasn't just the first choice. Venice gave it to another artist, and they said, we want you to make this statue. And he tried, and he put chisel marks on it, and he says, the thing's too flawed. I can't do anything. So they hired another artist, and he tried, and he says, it's too flawed. I can't do anything. This block of marble is too flawed. So then they got the master, Michelangelo, and he says, it's not too flawed. And he made the Statue of David. Because it was in the master's hand. So it doesn't matter how flawed. And when he got it, there was already chunks and chips and attempts. See, we try to attempt to correct our own life. We try to make it and self-help and better and Oprah and Deepak and maybe my will. And there's marks on our marble. There's marks on our heart. But it wasn't in the hand of the master. And recently I was reading. They said, you know, it's not a perfect statue. In the back, there's air. They always said there's air in the back. But then they discovered a writing of Michelangelo. He knew it. He talked about it. And it's flawed in the back, so I'm going to put it in the back where people can't see. See, your flaws and stuff where everybody wants to see, God wants to take it. And I'm not trying to hide sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it's like where you think everybody sees, God doesn't see it when he looks at you. See, in the master's hands, he didn't go, I can't do anything with it. God never says, I can't do anything with your life. When you bring it to Jesus, everything changes. The fishes and the loaves, the first thing Jesus said, he didn't say, what are we going to do? He said, bring it to me. Bring it to me. And see, in Jesus' hands, everything changed. So just close your eyes for a second.